Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hal. We have a guest today that I've known for 5 years, 6 years. His name is Jin Lee. He's the CEO and co-founder of ODA. Not ODA, ODA.
ODA, yes, it is.
ODA is a food and beverage procurement platform, a startup that's recently raised some capital from Touchstone Partners and a few other VCs in the region. I have him on the show today, mostly because I want to share about the startup scene here. A lot of our guests, not only guests, but a lot of our audience are curious about how startups are doing, especially during this time when people are talking about the recession, people are talking about capital drying up. Jin, hopefully your capital is not drying up too fast, but fast-growing startup, a lot of growing pains, challenges, but also opportunities, and we're here to talk about that today. Mm-hmm. Jin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here today.
You were just mentioning offline that you looked back at the first conversations we had
five years ago. Yeah.
So my first question for you, let's turn back the clock a little bit, five years.
Right.
Did you think you were going to start another company like ODA 5 years ago?
Honestly, no. No, I was doing the real estate for first 11 years in my time in Vietnam.
Okay.
I came to Vietnam 2007, and first 11 years, I only thing that I did was real estate. So me and my brother bought a piece of land and built a building and operated into two different hotels.
Okay.
And I thought I would do the real estate still. But, you never know.
So real estate to startup.
Yeah.
How? Tell us about that journey.
Right.
Because they're two very different things.
It is very different, but somehow there was a link. Mm. Like I said, I was, we built a hotel and running the hotel under two different management companies. Mm-hmm. And under these hotels, we had two different restaurants. And in the restaurant, it was daily operation. Unlikely hotel, the room sales, the F&B side has a lot of small issues. Mm. And it was something that we could not cover through the system that we had. Under those two international brands, we had a pretty good management system, property management system.
You had Ibis, is that
Ibis
right?
Ibis and Capri in District 7.
Okay.
Yeah, so first Ibis in Vietnam, we brought, and also first Capri in Vietnam. They have a great operation systems, but in terms of F&B side, we always had some issues, small, rather big.
Tell us about those issues, because when people start startups, tech startups,
right,
there's always a problem to solve, hopefully.
Yeah,
I see companies starting and raising capital, but they're not really solving any problems.
Mm-hmm.
I even thought about that myself at Vietcetera. As a media company, what problems were we solving when we started the company? And today, we constantly have to ask ourselves so that we can provide a solution to our customers, to our audience. What were the challenges you were seeing, and what did you want to solve with ODA?
Right. So at that time, when I started to look into, restaurant business, there was issue with reporting, first of all, because I was a CEO of those two hotels, and asking managers to come up with a certain types of report. It took them 2 weeks in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And even after that, it took them still like a few days, even 1 week. When we look into more in detail, why those problem happens, it was because of the data that the restaurant was supposed to have was not there, and basically they order some food to cook something, but those ingredients they order from restaurant to the suppliers, and they have to ask again to the supplier to give that what they bought, the list of things they bought and how much they bought. I'm surprised that the restaurant did not keep that information. I mean, probably we had, but it was something that they had to collect everything together, because in the restaurant, we are using about 30 different suppliers.
Mm.
So we had to collect all of them together and reconcile, double check if they're okay and right. So it took them quite a lot of time. And that was sort of problem that first I encountered. But later on, we saw other problems and again, something like transparency issue. There was like some vague area that, one day chef said that they ordered 3 kilograms, but only 2 kilograms came, and they didn't know why it happened.
So for the audience out there that's listening today, everyone goes to restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
but very few people actually know behind the scenes what goes on.
Right.
So let me share that a little bit, because okay. I own a restaurant as
you
well.
Do,
and
right.
I've done a few restaurant businesses. My family mm-hmm. used to be in the business.
Right.
So one thing, and this is global, not just in Vietnam.
I think so.
But it's a little bit worse here, I guess you could say, just mm-hmm. only because
yes.
digital transformation, people aren't used to mm-hmm. using software tools or wanting to even pay for software tools.
Mm-hmm.
So one story I had from a previous restaurant that I owned was that the procurement mm-hmm. lead,
mm-hmm.
who was also the head chef,
mm-hmm.
what happened was he would order, let's say, 1 kilo of Wagyu beef,
mm-hmm.
and the price is $1, let's
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
He would go to the supplier and tell them, hey, mark it up to two
mm-hmm.
on the invoice,
mm-hmm. and kick
even
back.
Though the cost is only one, and keep the difference mm-hmm. as a kickback, as like a commission for I choose you.
Right.
So him and the owner or the salesperson on the other side would split the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you as the owner are not following that closely enough, which is probably the case, I mean, you're running a huge hotel.
Yes.
Like you got hundreds of rooms to fill.
Yes.
A restaurant is important, but it's not the biggest revenue driver of the business. It's not what's going to pay the bills.
Yeah, we are spending about $40,000 to $50,000 per month mm. only for the food cost.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, later I heard from my staff that, you know, the kickback could be as much as their monthly salary. And not only...
So is that why people work in the business? Because they...
Well, you know, there was some sort of like issues with that. And I mean, it's like you said, it's everywhere. It's in many other countries as well. But, you know, I live in Vietnam, so I focus on Vietnamese issue. And that's not the only reason that I started this project, but it was one of the issues that I encountered.
One of many challenges of running a restaurant is what led you to start Oda.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a step back from the restaurant side of things mm-hmm. a little bit. Let's talk about the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So Oda is there to solve challenges from the restaurants.
Yes.
What does Oda do?
So Oda lets restaurant order to all the supply at once, you know, because when I look at the problem started from the ordering process.
Mm.
And because they have to order, you know, each supply one by one, they have to also collect the data one by one.
Mm.
And they have to be actively collect them, otherwise it's not there. So the system that we created and that we designed mm-hmm. is the way that, you know, you go there and one piece of paper, like a web page, and your list is all there. Mm. Your ingredients list is there. And you just click a few, you know, ingredients that you want to buy that day.
Okay.
And then done. It doesn't matter, 20 different supplier, 40 different supplier, all the supplier at once, it's gone.
And you guys are only the platform, so you don't do the logistics, you don't do the, you do the payment and invoicing, though.
We can provide the data. So
okay.
we have a data sheet that provides, you know, invoice-like.
Got it.
So they can double-check with the invoice in the accounting side.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys focus on the platform, structured
system.
Data
yeah.
system
yeah.
to analyze
yeah.
your data and keep it all in one place.
Yeah. So we started from buyer side, and then we later started to develop on the supplier side as well. Because when we look at it, the problem, the supplier was even bigger.
Okay. So yeah. Where does the business focus now? You mentioned the buyers, who are the cafes, mm-hmm. the restaurants, the people that produce the product mm-hmm. for the diners.
Mm-hmm.
Do you focus more on that, or do you focus more on the suppliers now who are selling the product?
We have to take care of both sides mm-hmm. by the nature of the business, because what we want to do is we want to provide a system for, in the beginning, buyer to order easily and conveniently with the transparency. But now it has to bring to the supply side as well, so that they have to both benefit from the system. Also, in terms of system, there was much more need in the supply side as a system.
Okay.
Because on the buyer side, it's actually not too complicated. But on the supply side, there was much more things that we need to take care of.
Mm.
And also, as a acquisition of the new users for us, when we have one supplier come on board, it is much more impactful.
You get hundreds of new customers, but
exactly the same. Even like 300, 400 at
wow.
the same time. Yeah.
Okay. So how many suppliers are in the system of Oda right now in Vietnam?
So we have at least, in terms of list, we have yeah. More than 600.
Okay.
But actively using about 150
okay.
monthly.
So I mentioned earlier in the mm-hmm. show that digital transformation, people using technology in this business historically hasn't been very good, or it's very manual.
Right.
Like imagine you're on Zalo chat,
yeah,
and you have like 30 different chats going
exactly.
every day.
Yes.
And then the paperwork too, because mm-hmm. in Vietnam, people love to, or
keep the papers.
People keep the paper or tax records, whatever.
Yeah.
Has it been a challenge?
Definitely.
For suppliers to adopt the platform, and mm-hmm. the same question for buyers. Has it been a challenge for them?
Yes, exactly. I mean, like it, just like you described, it's a challenging for us. But, you know, as we all seen over the last 3-4 years, mm-hmm. and also, you know, because of COVID time, things has been changed a lot.
Okay.
And even government is pushing every corner of the industry to digitalize mm-hmm. things. And FNB side is not different. Government wants to do it. Mm-hmm. People want to do it. Of course, there are rejections. But there are a lot of people who want to try new things within technology.
Okay, let's talk about the adoption,
mm-hmm.
about the first time trying or mm-hmm. even continuing to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use my restaurant
right.
as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I know about 6 months ago, your team engaged with mine. I'm not tracking the daily operation,
right.
but I know like our general manager was very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, let's implement this.
Right.
But then our chefs
mm-hmm.
were not.
Right.
And I don't want to say they were negative about it because they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting them to use it, they're like, oh, it's another thing to do.
Right.
Oh, like, I don't know how to do it. We need training.
Right.
So let's start with my case study as an example. I'm right. the owner. I like the idea.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that sounds all great.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you communicate that to the staff that are working at the restaurant level?
Well, you need, in the beginning, you need a little bit of push, in my opinion. Mm. You know, okay, this is a, you know, good thing to use. It mm. doesn't harm any part of our business.
Okay.
Doesn't change any our supplier.
Mm.
So you need to, you know, define things well enough that, so that they wouldn't feel too scared. Then you need to push that to use it first. Mm. And once they use it and they become big fan of it. And that's true story for many of our users.
Okay. So let's say I'm a restaurant owner
mm-hmm.
and I'll play the same role as a supplier in a little bit. So I'm a restaurant owner.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through what I need to know. Is it expensive? It's going to cost me something per month. Like what kind of efficiencies can I expect?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you have case studies about, hey, my cost of goods sold was 30%. Now it's 25%
mm-hmm.
As a result of using Oda, getting more disciplined. Walk me through that, what I need to know.
So headlines first, according to what we have surveyed, we could save about 15% of food cost.
1.5. So it's if 15%. I'm doing 30 down 3-5%, let's say.
Something
like that.
Yeah. In terms of human resource in purchasing side, we can at least save 50%, half of it first.
Mm.
Because what happens is that, you know, procurement and purchasing could be a power center of a small restaurant,
mm.
you know, because it's a big part of the restaurant purchase. And when the person disappears or sick, then people lose.
Stops.
Yeah. Everything stops basically.
Mm.
But with the system, you don't have to worry about it because it's all there. You just call there and price is already there too.
Mm.
And then you just click a few things and done. So there is no need to worry about your sort of change in the operation side. That's one thing. But also in terms of pricing side, because you can monitor it.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't say that we solve the problem that we mentioned earlier
yep.
about like transparency thing.
Right.
Because when you know that the people know and see every day, you know, okay, we are purchasing this how much
mm.
daily basis mm. because you can log in and have a look at it.
All in one system.
Yeah. Then people have less sort of like appetite to do something,
right.
You know, little funny
because everyone can see it. It's not
everyone
just
can see it. It's
person.
A more yeah. transparent.
Okay.
So it has a yeah.
Am I paying anything as a restaurant owner?
For the first one restaurant, when you have a one restaurant, you don't pay anything.
Okay. So currently the business model is mm-hmm. if I'm an independent,
mm-hmm.
no charge. But if I scale to a chain, let's
yes.
say I have 3 locations, 10 locations.
Mm-hmm.
You charge per user, probably something like this.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Now let's talk about the suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a supplier. Let's say I'm selling water.
Right.
I'm sending to thousands of restaurants every single day.
Mm-hmm.
What's the incentive for me to use this program,
mm-hmm.
this platform? And are there any costs for me to use this?
So supplier, when say that there is a other restaurant using you as a water supplier, and then you are getting only the orders through our system, you don't need to pay anything.
Okay.
But once you see that benefit of our system and want to use it as an operating system or just taking the more orders through the system, then you can either choose a commission or system use fee, which is fixed.
So I'm thinking as a supplier, I have a sales army. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to acquire new restaurants and cafes and hotels into using my product.
Right.
Now, Oda can kind of act as a salesperson for me because, you know, I'm assuming there's like hundreds, if not thousands, of venues, points of sale that are using Oda. And now they see, hey, I'm ordering water. Okay, I go to my normal guy, but hey, there's this new supplier that sells a different type of water for this price, maybe I'll try them out too.
Right, right.
Have you seen a lot of adoption? People trying different suppliers because of the platform?
Yeah, they want to try, but the thing is, F&B is a very interesting business, you know, because it's about taste. It's about people's expectation.
Yeah.
When they come to the restaurant, they expect something from the restaurant, and probably it's not the first time, so you know what to expect. Then if something changes, they don't like it.
So you mean like consistency?
Yeah.
People prefer to have the same taste and profile.
That's a customer side, but also owner side as well. Mm-hmm. Owner want to make sure that they keep the quality.
Right.
And they don't want to change much. So a lot of times restaurants want to, you know, they ask us, they want to try out new ingredients. Oh, I want to have a better, you know, cheese. I want to have a better cream. Or I want to have better something with a probably better price, and we provide them, we give them, hey, this is sample and you can try it out. And many times what happens is that, oh, it's good, but we like to stay what we were using before, because they were a little bit worried about the change of taste.
You talk about change.
Mm-hmm.
So let's reference Oda, for example, because
right.
people have systems. They have certain ways of doing things.
Yes.
Of course, there's the ingredients and supplier side, but it's processes and systems.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot about the suppliers and we talked about the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the procurement people
right.
who are probably listening to this podcast and thinking, oh my God, they're going to replace me. almost like AI is replacing people and jobs,
or right.
talk about that, right? What do you have to tell the procurement and finance people that are listening to today's podcast about how they can use Oda, what they should know about Oda before they start using it? Because in most cases, they are the people using the platform.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's like a COVID. When things come, we have to adapt it and we have to be flexible about what's happening. Technology is the same. The new things are the same. I mean, the new technology and new things and new system is coming up. It's inevitable. It's on the way. And it's a choice of whether you want to actively adopt it and use it wisely on your benefit, or you wait and being forced to be replaced or being, you know, choosing something else that, you know, against your own will. I think a question of that.
Interesting. Okay. Let's see how that plays out. I mean, I agree. I tell a lot of our team that AI is coming whether you like it or not.
Yes.
And you have two different mindsets that you can have. You can like it, not even like it, but just understand it
right.
and see the value that it brings to your work.
Right.
And if you understand it the best, it'll make you double productive.
Right.
Make your life easier, actually.
Right.
If you choose to be negative about it, you will be left behind.
Exactly.
No matter what, because transformation at this scale is happening whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And one tool like ChatGPT, that's only one. There's hundreds of others. So
exactly.
Well, Oda is also one of many, right? I mean, hopefully you guys, your goal is to be the leader, especially in this market for this type of solution for digital transformation in the restaurant space.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's you, whether it's someone else, they're coming.
They are.
So whether you like it or not. Let's talk about the startup kind of landscape a little bit as a player like Oda. You guys raised about $1 million about a year ago, maybe from Touchstone Partners.
Touchstone.
It's a Vietnamese VC here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys raising more? What's the landscape right now? And I ask you this because for two reasons. One is a lot of your customers are thinking, oh, it's another startup. What if they go out of business in 6 months and I have to switch another platform?
Right.
The second question is for the startups and investors listening today, mm-hmm. wondering from other founders, because mm-hmm. like you, mm-hmm. I'm a founder as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other founders are always asking me about, you know, how to run teams. What's the fundraising like right now? Mm-hmm. I don't need to fundraise, so VCs don't ask me, but maybe Jen. So what's that like for you guys right now too? So two questions. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, customers thinking you'll go bankrupt in 6 months. And then the second question is more investors and other startups. What should they know about what's going on right now? In terms of Vietnamese.
Well, for us, yes, we raised our seed round from Touchstone and other VC from Korea, mm-hmm. and also a couple of individuals.
Okay.
And I wanted to raise the seed round from the Vietnamese VC, and we did.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful because basically we are running our business in Vietnam. Mm. So I want to be I want to get the stamp from Vietnamese VC that, okay, this guy is, doing something interesting.
Yep.
Again, I'm very grateful that it happened. And also the other, you know, individuals and Korean startups are looking at us as a great potential. Mm. So they came together.
Okay.
And our runway is pretty okay now.
Okay.
But of course, we see the end of the runway too, even though it's a bit longer than.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are making revenue, you have customers, so let's keep growing that, right? Mm-hmm. But what about the customers? You could say that about any company, mm-hmm. any supplier. You know, I'm selling salmon.
True.
I could be out of business next month.
Right, yeah. I mean, in fact, there was a similar company that who used to do what we are doing, and they pivoted, and they became a supplier.
Yeah.
And because of that, some of the users are worried about
the change.
Us being pivoting again, either becoming their competitor or becoming just not servicing their restaurants anymore. So they want us to have a contract. So we have contract for
them. Kind of like guarantee.
Yeah, we guarantee, okay, at least up until this time, we guarantee this service for you.
Okay.
So that's what happened. Mm. And of course, you know, nobody wants to run out of business. Mm. And I want to make sure that it doesn't happen. We already get some interesting calls from the other investors as well for the next round. And we are actively talking about that.
So let's talk about raising capital a little bit. Some of the people listening today are not in the restaurant business at all. They're just other startups, founders, VCs. What's your feeling about just raising capital all the time? I know you're a capital intensive business to start, but the idea is in software, you can scale. There's at one point you probably hopefully don't need to raise any more money.
Right.
Your path to profitability and exit, whatever it might be, is very, very clear. What's your feeling about needing to raise capital versus wanting? So what I mean by that is, for my business, for at least, we've raised a couple million dollars at Vietcetera. But I look back and I'm like, did we really need that money? It was more we wanted it to do something, but did we actually need it? So let's talk about how you've built the business right now. Yes, you need some capital to get started. Do you need more money down the line? Do you see a path where you can just like mega grow this business and you're good to go? What are your thoughts about that?
Because in the beginning, when I met our seed investor, and I asked them the question, the same question, you know, do I really need to raise next round? Because I think I can do this, so that we don't probably need, I'll probably need only this much, not that much. The answer from them was, okay, that's not a bad idea. So they don't force me to, you know, to choose anything on their behalf, but they were asking back another question: how big of a company you want to, you know, build up? That's the question.
Okay.
If you want to just stay as what you probably want to see now as a company and make it, you know, pretty good revenue and make it making
cash flow,
and stable business, that's fine too. But is there something that you started or your startup for? That was a question. And then it made me realize, oh, right, you know, that's something. When I started the business, honestly, I didn't really look at that far. But when I started, you know, and started to build up more and more, then I could see the more potential of this business. And the fact that we can actually go to other countries, you know, even, you know, not only Southeast Asia, but also like US and some other continent as well.
So you feel like you're onto something bigger.
I think so.
And you want to take advantage of that. You want to be, hey, this is a very unique opportunity. We're not in this position every single day. Let's make the most out of this thing.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, when you start something and then you question yourself too, right? It's not always that you just talk about it and you ask yourself, okay, am I doing this for, you know, some good reason? Of course, your own passion, your own goal of life and something like that. But also as a size of business and opportunity-wise, that you sometimes see that, oh, you know, there is a very rare chance that it doesn't come very often that you know, you see that what you are onto is something bigger than what you actually knew.
Yeah. I think that's a very important question that a lot of founders need to ask themselves, because even I face this problem, this challenge, this question 7 years after starting the et cetera. And I think you should be consistent from day one. I think if you have that mindset where you want to go from day one,
right,
nothing can really stop you. You can control your own narrative and your story and where you want to go. Of course, there's your team members, there's people, you know, people grow up, things change, so right. You have to adapt. But if you can stay focused on that and keep everyone focused on that end goal, chances are you have a very good shot at getting there.
Right. So. And even the fact that you can actually aim that high is special.
You can think that far in advance.
Yes. Yeah. The life doesn't give you, those kind of opportunity too many times.
That's great. Yeah. Good feedback for all the founders and even restaurant owners as well. They're founders as well.
that are
thinking about what they want to do.
Right.
Thank you, Jin. So today we talked a little about your business, why you did this, what you hope to come out of it. Let's touch upon the future of Oda. You guys have been in business for less than 2 years, I believe.
3 years.
Hopefully, at least another 2 years to go. Let's see. Hopefully, much longer than that. Where do you see yourselves in the short term and long term of the business? Paint us that picture so that we know where to expect Oda in the next couple of years.
We are very active in Ho Chi Minh now, but we already started our business in Hanoi as well as Cambodia.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I like about what we are doing. Mm-hmm. We are so focused on system, so we can go anywhere because we are light. Yeah. We are not asset-heavy company.
Yeah.
So that's something amazes me every day.
Okay.
I really want to see that Oda operates in other countries, other continent in 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So Southeast Asia is very imminent and is close by. So we're going to go there very soon. But, you know, it's a very exciting to think about, what if Oda does an operation in the U.S.?
Okay.
What if we are in France, for example? That would be very, very interesting.
The possibilities are limitless.
Yeah. We can go everywhere.
Jin, we've talked a little bit about your journey and the food and beverage industry, about where you expect it to go. I want to talk a little bit about what you don't know. So on this podcast, we have experts from so many different industries.
Right.
Not just food and beverage.
Right.
And they can talk about for days about what they do and where they see their business going. My question for you is, you've been here 16 years. What do you not know? And what would you like to know more to make your job better?
I guess, I mean, like I said, you know, I was doing real estate for the 11 years in the first time when I was in Vietnam. So I moved the industry from real estate and hospitality to F&B. Luckily, hospitality has links with F&B always. So that was my link. So I would say that even though I'm always been a big fan of, gastronomy and F&B, I don't know much about cooking side. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Okay.
But also, we become, over the last 3 years, Oda became a technology company rather than service company. In fact, about 70% of our members in the company are programmers. So we are very heavy on the developments of technology. And I'm not an engineer background. So I'm really... I need some more understanding and the learning.
Your team, you have a CTO though.
We have a CTO
kind of takes care of that side of things. A little bit.
Luckily, I found him last year.
Okay,
just before raising seed, and it was a little bit risky, but he decided to join the team. Yes,
that's great. Yeah. Okay, so as a startup founder, you'd like to know more about technology, the actual back end of things, how things work. Yeah. Where things are going.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's why I studied a Saturday online class.
Oh, wow.
For the fintech.
Okay.
Because we see that there is opportunity for all that to link with the fintech side as well.
Interesting.
And like you ask, I know nothing about fintech.
Yeah.
So I started to take a course
from
SMU.
Well, hopefully we'll have a few more guests on the show that you can listen to learn from about tech and fintech and all that.
Yeah.
My follow-up question is, so people understand the scale of Oda as well. Mm. You mentioned you have, at this point, a few hundred customers, it sounds like. How about the internal team? How big is the team?
Mm-hmm.
If I were a junior programmer mm-hmm. and I wanted to come into the company, yeah. I want to understand the team culture, who these people are. Maybe you can paint that picture for us, how big the team is, who the people are, why they joined. Let's talk about that.
So in the beginning, we had 6 engineers, including designer. Now we have 28 engineers.
28?
Yes.
Wow.
And
how the whole company is how big?
It's about 36, 37.
Okay. Oh, very small. Look pretty light.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why it's about 70%.
Massive.
Yeah.
Okay. So going in, it's a tech culture, really.
Became, yes. Yeah. Yes. It's something that I didn't really plan or expected, but naturally happened.
Yeah.
Because we have to focus on so much on the functionalities and the usability of the system.
Okay.
So yeah, it happened.
Amazing.
And in terms of culture-wise, yes, we are very tech-oriented, but also very friendly. The one thing that I'm very, very proud and happy with is the fact that among those 6 people who started, only one left. Mm-hmm. He left very early on. Mm. 5 still with us.
Okay.
And that's
Since day one.
Since day one, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool.
So I'm very grateful for that too.
Awesome. Well, it's only been 2 years in the business. Let's see how long you guys can go, how far you guys can go.
Mm-hmm.
The food and beverage industry definitely needs more digital transformation. So as a restaurant owner myself, wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
I need to start looking after the show if we're using Oda enough at CTY. That's the place that I own. I don't think we are, but we need to get on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, the new manager was very busy. So
Exactly. There's constant change.
But we are developing another function for restaurant managers to onboard easier.
Mm.
So you can also have a look at that too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for those of you that have a restaurant or you're a supplier, if you need something new,
mm-hmm.
talk to Jin and Oda and his team. His contact and his team's contact will be in the comment description below. Check it out. Jin, thank you so much for joining today's show. It's been a pleasure to learn about the industry a little bit more.
Thank you.
Learn about what you're trying to do. And hopefully the listeners here today have gotten something out of today's podcast. Jin, wish you the best of luck. And let's check back in another 2 years.
Sure.
See where you are and see what you guys are up to.
Okay, we'll have to.
Awesome. I'll see you guys next time. But before we close today, we're going to do a TikTok session with Jin. Here we go. What brought you to Vietnam?
My brother and real estate.
What excites you about Vietnam?
The people, the growth, everything.
In one sentence, what is Oda?
Oda is a SaaS to the F&B industry and enables SME financing.
What's an innovation at Oda that you're most proud of?
We are changing the system, whole system, this year, this quarter.
I'm a restaurant owner. Why should I use Oda?
You can be really reliable to Oda for any situation. And also, you don't have to spend too much money on HR on the procurement side.
On a Sunday at 10 a.m., where would you be and what would you be doing?
I'll be in church with my kids.
What's your favorite Vietnamese word or phrase?
Trời ơi.
And last question, if I'm on ChatGPT
mm-hmm.
and I search who is Jin Lee,
mm-hmm.
what would it say?
Jin Lee, CEO and founder of Oda and has been in Vietnam last 17 years. I hope.
Okay, very good. That's it.
All right.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Thank you.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.